Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, welcome to Insights for Eternity. This is Pastor John Edmiston, and we're continuing our studies in the book of Luke. And today we're looking at do not be anxious about the things of this world, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and what you shall put on. That's a pretty tough call from Jesus, but he'll give us a lot of good reasons why. So before we dive into the scriptures, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you provide all our needs, spiritual and physical, that you're the Father in heaven who cares for us, and we're of much greater value than many sparrows. So, Lord, as I expound God's word today, I pray for peace and calm and anointing. I pray that your word will be clear. Bless today's broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 34, and grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Here's Jesus, and he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a smaller thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So here, in this fairly long passage, Jesus is telling us not to be anxious, because our real treasure is going to be in eternity. It's going to be in heaven. We're passing through here on earth, and God knows what we need during our time here on earth, but we have greater needs. We have heavenly needs. We have spiritual needs. And here in Virginia, it's springtime. It's just started. And as it's done, my wife, who's a very keen gardener, she's got some lilies of the field going out there. She's got some daffodils, and she's got some tulips, and they're blossoming, and they're beautiful. And they are arrayed like King Solomon in all his glory. They're just popping up from the soil, because God knows how to provide the needs of flowers. And of course, my wife waters them and all the rest, but God himself sends the showers from heaven. He sends the water that goes to the dam, that goes to the hose, that goes to the tulips and all the rest. God knows what they need. He knows what the squirrels need. He knows all the animals around here and their requirements. And so God provides food for every living thing. He opens his hand and they feast. He withdraws his breath and they pass away. That's Psalm 104. And here again and again, as in verse 22 here, he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, what you'll put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing." So Jesus tells us, do not fear, do not be anxious, do not be fretful. Well, what's anxiety? It's a state of negative anticipation. It's, oh, we mightn't get this, we mightn't get that. We don't have faith in the operation of the world. We think things are going to be random. We think things are going to be chaotic. We think we're going to be disappointed or threatened or miss out on something in some way. And this is natural because we don't have ideal childhoods. Some people might grow up tough, under tough conditions, or the society that you're in may have tough conditions. And so life seems, objectively, if you're looking at it, very uncertain. And I've been a missionary who's lived by faith without a regular income for 40 years. And God has provided for me. Sometimes I've had very little. Sometimes I've had an abundance. But during the times I had very little, and often I was full of fear for a while, and I have to go to the Lord. But the Lord always provided just at the moment. And I can remember some very depressing times when I thought I wouldn't be able to buy food, or the food that I could buy was terrible. I remember one time I was struggling to have just 30 cents to buy some vegetables in a market in Papua New Guinea. And that was a depressing moment looking at that. Other times waking up in a part of the Philippines and being covered in insects because the house I was in was full of insects and they'd crawl all over me at night. There's times like that when you struggle to see the goodness of God, when you struggle to see God's provision. But having been around and doing this for a long time now, I now know that the Lord provides and the Lord guides. And for instance, I've needed a doctor's appointment with a certain specialist, very hard to get into. I rang up yesterday and I got an appointment today. So after this, I'll be going to have to that specialist, and I didn't think I'd be able to get in anywhere near that quickly. They had a vacancy. So God knows what we need, when we need it, and he provides all of your needs, all of my needs. So let's look at the verse 24. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So the first thing that Jesus tells us is that we are of great value to God. And I remember a story of a friend of mine who was in a very remote area of the Philippines, and he just looked around. He was in the back of a taxi, a battered old taxi, looking around at these people, and he thought to himself, no one wants these people. And instantly, the Lord said to him in an almost physical and audible way, but I want these people, and I'm very unhappy that it's taken so long, in brackets, for the gospel to reach them. So God wants each of us. God values each of us. God wants the gospel to go out into all the world to each of us. And if you're of much more value than the ravens, which God feeds, and the squirrels and whatever animals you have in your part of the world, God provides for them. He provides for all his creatures, and he loves everything that he has made, especially human beings, because he has made human beings in his own image. And in his own likeness, and to be the rulers of the future world, the world that is to come. We mightn't see that here. We might say, oh, this world is under the dominion of demons and those who serve them, that the prince of darkness owns this world, puts corrupt politicians in place, puts cruel people in armies, and so on and so forth. But in the world to come, those who are in the image of God, who are most in the image of God, will be those who have the greatest glory, and then the greatest power in the heavenly realm that will come when Jesus returns and rules and reigns on earth for 1,000 years. And that's the reality. The reality is spiritual, not physical. And so we tend to measure things by the immediate impact on our lives here. You know, we think, oh, if someone gave us $10,000, that would change my life. That would pay off this bill, do this, do that. And that's not really what it's about, because sometimes people get a lot of money, but they remain bitter and jealous, or their relatives get bitter and jealous of them, and it causes a family squabble and this and that. Money isn't as life-changing as you think. We certainly need it. We certainly need it to pay the bills, put the lights on, put the kids through school and all that kind of stuff. But it's not as life-changing. A lot of people remain the same when they get rich, or they get nastier. And God doesn't want that. God wants us to be in the image of God. And he wants to assure us that he values you. His eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me. So that's the old hymn. His eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me, and I don't have a singing voice, so I'm not going to sing it on air. Now, in the next few verses, he talks about the futility of worry. How much does worry actually achieve in your life? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Well, anxiety doesn't increase the length of our life. It decreases it, doesn't it? Because we have stress, and all those stress hormones flow through our body and attack our organs, and we get all sorts of autoimmune diseases and arthritis from worrying. Worrying makes us sick. You've heard the phrase, he's worried sick about this, that, and the other. If you're in an intense matter, like a legal matter, or your relative is sick with cancer or something, yes, you can worry yourself sick. The worry can take over. So worry doesn't make us taller or shorter or more beautiful. It makes us ugly, in fact. It doesn't help us health-wise. Worry is a futile activity, so we need to find a way to get out of worry and into faith, and that's easier said than done, and I'll talk about that as we go along. The first thing you need to know is worry doesn't do you any good. And if you look back on all the times you've worried about something, how many times has that anxiety actually come true? Maybe 1% of the time. The other 99% of the worrying was wasted. It either didn't happen or it happened at much less intensity than you thought it's going to happen, because our minds are wired for worry. We are wired to over-anticipate danger in our life and to prepare for it, and then it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen as we thought it would, because God has ways of protecting us and blessing us. So let's just put our worries and fretting to one side, because it's useless. It doesn't help us one bit in life. And then it's verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, ye of little faith? Now, I actually claimed these verses once. I came back from Papua New Guinea, and it was 1988. And I was very poor shape as a missionary. My clothes were horrible. They were tatty. They were ratty. I looked disgraceful when I went around in Australian society. I really looked like the poor missionary, and I felt ashamed. And I got kind of upset at God. And I said, Lord, look at this. You said that I'd be clothed better than the lilies of the field. And look at this. I'm tattered and my clothes are horrible. Well, a friend of mine, actually a girlfriend of mine, who was at the time, and she was Chinese. We didn't make it. We didn't get married, but we had a good relationship, and things happened. Anyway, she went back to Hong Kong. And she knew someone who knew someone who knew the fashion industry. And in the fashion industry, they have seconds. They're clothes that look brand new, but they've got a tiny little thing here or something wrong with the label, and they can't sell them, but they're beautiful. And these were all silk clothes. They were the ones with the alligator on and all the top fashion brands. And she came back with two large suitcases full of the best clothes that you can possibly imagine, all from the fashion houses. And so suddenly I was the best clothed person in the church instead of the worst clothed person in the church. And I was very happy. I was very glad that this friend of mine had brought all this back for me. And so God answered that prayer. Suddenly I was clothed like the lilies of the field. I did look good and I felt good. And so God can answer your prayers when you cry out specifically to him. I'll tell you another story like that, and it's much more recent. We're semi-retired now, we're older, and a few years back we were in a terrible, terrible financial situation. We were sinking. A mortgage was too much for us. We had credit card debt. I didn't know how we were going to make it. It looked like we'd have to be 85 before we could retire, and it was a desperate situation. At the end of every month I felt awful, and it was hard not to feel awful. So I began to pray about moving mountains. And I said, I began walking around the house saying, this mountain of debt is removed. This mountain of debt is removed. Mountain of debt be removed in Jesus' name. Claiming this and walking around the house. And now all our debt is gone. We sold that house, moved here to Virginia, got rid of the mortgage, got rid of the credit cards. and we are debt free. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago that I was doing that. And 3 years ago, we moved here. And then 2 years after that, all the credit cards were cleared up. We are debt free. And God did that. And he did it in what seemed to be a very rapid order of time. And so when you believe the scriptures, when you believe that God's going to provide for you, he can make a way where there is no way. He can get you out of that financial stress. He can get you out of that situation that's worrying you so much. And you just have to find a scripture to stand on. So if you're in a mess, if you think, is God going to provide or not, just go to the Lord and say, what scripture shall I stand on? How shall I pray about this? And God will give you the answer in your quiet time one day or somewhere. You'll realize, or you'll hear a sermon or a broadcast like this, and you'll say, I'm going to stand on that scripture. God's my provider. God's my Jehovah Jireh. And on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. And you just go out there. Now, you don't have to do seed faith or something. You know, I didn't go throwing money at people to get my debts removed. I didn't go to some prophet and pay them money. That's not in the scripture there at all. Now, you just go to God on the basis of what Jesus has done and how God provides and his promises in the scripture. And that's what I did. So don't be fooled by people who say your debts or your money situation will be changed if you throw money at pastor this or bishop that or prophet so-and-so. That's not true. That's a con. Don't fall for that. It's between you and God on the basis of the scripture, on the basis of faith, and God will save you from that mess. Verse 29 here. And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Well, God knows the people of faith, and he holds them in high esteem, much more than the sinners of this world. God knows what the people of the world, the Gentiles, eagerly seek after all these things. But you, as a person of faith, they're going to be provided to you through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by that, you may get a job. God will open a door for you to get a great job in a hospital or wherever, in a business, or to start your own business and make it succeed. But God will provide one way or the other. And God knows that you need these things. He knows that you need the school fees. He knows that you need food. So go to him by faith and say, Lord, you know I need these things. Please provide them right now. Lord, you know I need all these things. Your word says that you're going to provide it. Now we claim your word. You honor your word above your name. We claim the things that we need for our daily life and for our ministry. Now, I'm not saying that you can claim a bright red Mercedes or some luxury item, but God knows what you need, and God is good, and he will provide that, just like I got those beautiful shirts and clothes and trousers from Hong Kong. So you will be blessed by the Lord. Verse 31, instead seek his kingdom and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, God gives us things through faith. He gives us salvation through faith. He gives us the kingdom through faith. He gives us the Holy Spirit through faith. He gives us love, joy, and peace in our hearts through faith. Everything in the kingdom of God is provided by grace through faith, not on the basis of works, not on the basis of anything we've done or deserved, but by grace through faith. Faith is the key, or rather prayer is the key, and faith unlocks the door. The impossible places of life will be unlocked by the key of faith and the key of prayer and the key of fasting as you go in to the Lord and seek out these things. So seek first the kingdom. Seek first God's priority. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. Seek his truth. Study the Bible. Do good works. And say, how should the kingdom of God manifest here? How should the kingdom of God be set up? Seek the growth of your church, evangelize, show compassion, do the things that God has called you to do. In my case, it's a Bible teaching. And so God calls me to Bible teaching. As I teach the Bible, God will provide and guide and bless us in our needs. Not because I'm a good person, but because we're doing what he wants. We're by faith entering into the works of the Lord. And God answers his prayers and our prayers and his promises. And so his promises are true, and his precious and great promises supply everything we need for life and godliness. And that's in 2 Peter chapter 1, the first bit there. God has supplied everything we need for life and godliness through his precious and very great promises. So you need to know the promises of God, and you need to be able to stand on the promises of God, and everything will be supplied as you enter into the work of the kingdom. So you need to change your priorities. See, worry drags us down into very earthly priorities. I need this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. So we run around in little circles with no time for God because we're worried about the things of this world. Instead, we should put the things of God first in our schedule. So I've got to do this for God first and the next thing for God first and the other thing for God. And when we put God at the top of the agenda, when we give God our time, our money, and our effort first, then the other things will be added to us. The money we need, the house we need, the car we need, getting rid of our debts, doing that. That'll happen when we put God first. And all of our priorities, not our own needs, not our own fame, not our own ego, not our own empire of any sort. We're not there to build a little comfortable world for ourselves. Our comfortable world will happen when we get to heaven. Then we will have the kingdom. Then we will have our own ability to rule and reign with Christ. Our will be done as it's a subset of God's will. We will reign and rule with Christ. We will have power. In this world, we are powerless. The power is stripped off from us by death, of course, but also by the incidents of life, the randomness of life, the attacks of demons and devils and curses. The power we have as people and want to have and the success we want to have often vanishes because our life can be so random. It's a breath and we're gone. But the life we have in heaven does not pass away, and we rule and reign with Christ. We have power and strength with Christ. And that's the main thing, to focus on the kingdom of God, to focus on what the Holy Spirit is telling you, focus on the word of God and the people of God, and to strengthen God's people and to bless them and to get people saved and delivered, to get the demons out of them, to get the Holy Spirit into them, and to grow the kingdom of God all around the world during these last days when everything is so urgent. And we note here, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you the kingdom of God. He's not mad at you. He loves you. It's his pleasure. He's delighted to give you the things of the kingdom of God. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel beaten up. God's pleasure, God's goodness, is to give you the kingdom. And he's saying that to the disciples. He's saying that to all the ordinary people of the world who don't think they deserve anything. Well, of course we don't deserve anything, but God gives us it anyway because he's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the God of love. He loves you inside and out. And he's going to do a lot better for you than he does for the ravens or the lilies of the field. And as you seek the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. And then in verse 33, he says some pretty radical things. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you and I need to realize that there's heavenly treasure. That's something the Holy Spirit tells us. It's something we know at the depth of our being, that at the end of this life, we will receive treasure and reward from God. And 1 Corinthians 3 makes it clear that people get different amounts of treasure. It's not all the same for everyone. If someone's faithful to God and they build with the good things of the Word of God, with what the Bible calls gold, silver, and precious stones, then when their reward is tested, it will not be burned up. They will endure, and their reward and the reward of their good works will go to heaven with them. But if the person builds with shoddy things, they don't do the work of the kingdom well at all, and they just build with hay, wood, and stubble, then it will be burned up by the fire. So the quality of our life and the quality of the good works we do for God will be tested. And the other side of that is reward and eternal authority and strength. And so your real life, your eternal life, will vary in quality and quantity and authority depending on how you've lived this life here right now. It's quite clear from the parables of the various servants, 1 talent, 2 talent, 5 talent, that there are varying amounts of reward in the kingdom of God, and a good and faithful servant gets much more than a wicked and lazy servant. So don't be the wicked and lazy servant. Sometimes he puts us over little on earth, that he will put us over much in heaven, because he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And we know that those Christians who are persecuted and ridiculed for the sake of their faith, and they suffer here on earth, and they are thrown into a prison, they're abused, and sometimes they're even martyred for the Lord Jesus Christ. Great will be their reward in heaven. So when we live like Jesus, when we turn the other cheek, when we don't take revenge, when we suffer persecution gladly, when we speak the truth as the prophet spoke the truth, and we get persecuted as a result, then that is God's business. It's not really our fault. It's the fault of these sinful people that don't want the word of God. They will persecute us and they will do all kinds of things to us. And in the end, in the end time, people who kill us will think they're doing the will of God. It says that in John's gospel, I think. So people will hate you on behalf of the gospel. This world will reject you because you follow the gospel. But great will be your reward in heaven. And your reward in heaven doesn't pass away. It's not. It doesn't get attacked by rust. It doesn't go down the financial tubes when a bank fails. It can't be stolen by a thief. If you've got gold bars in your house, a thief can break in and steal them, and there, your treasure is gone. No moth destroys it. So the treasures of this earth are temporary. And I've seen many people stack up wealth and stack up wealth. And then something happens. A con artist takes it, or the government changes, or they tax that money, their retirement funds, or all sorts of things happen, or the bank goes broke, or this huge inflation happens, and suddenly the money they've accumulated is now worthless because of the inflation. It's easy to lose your treasure here on earth, but it's not possible to lose your treasure here in heaven. So be kingdom-minded. Do God's work. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Put aside your anxiety and start having faith in God. Write down all your worries on a piece of paper and say, Lord, these are my worries. Help me out of them. Help me to a point of faith. I commit my life to you. I roll my burdens upon the Lord, for he will sustain me. So take all those things on your piece of paper and say, these are not my problems. They are your problems, Lord. I refuse to be anxious about them. I turn them over to you and to your care. And then ask God, specifically how to pray for these things to be manifested, these things to be dealt with, and go in faith that God's taking care of you today, and God's going to take care of you as you go in and you go out. He'll take care of me as I go to my specialist appointment. He will take care of your family and your children, and specifically pray for your children that they will walk with the Lord forever, who are in a very wicked and terrible time. Pray that they will be delivered out of temptation. Pray that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cover them and deliver them from every sin. And now we, as a group, we commit each other to the Lord. I commit you to the Lord. You commit me to the Lord. That the Lord will be our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We will not need to be anxious. For faith in the Lord will provide all you need. For Jesus loves you. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.